Now, a couple of months ago, explosive developments in the US Golden State Killer case attracted a whole heap of media attention around the world. Ex-policeman Joseph James DeAngelo was arrested for a string of murders and assaults that took place over 30 years ago. Police were able to match DNA from the crime scenes to DeAngelo's family DNA, held in a public genealogy database. For justice seekers, it was a good news story, but the arrest sparked debate over whether it's ethical to collect and access gene data for these purposes. So, are our genes our own property, or does the pursuit of justice trump all else? Professor Dennis McNevin from the University of Technology Sydney's Centre for Forensic Science joins us in the studio to tell us a little bit more. Dennis, good morning.
Hi, Tess.
So, first of all, this is the first time this has happened. It's kind of a real cutting-edge situation. We don't have a lot of information as of yet, but do we see any major issues that could come from using this situation into the future?
Well, actually, it's not the first time this has been used.
Oh, it's not?
No. So this technique has been used for probably about 5 years in very rare cases, but not using the extensive high-density genotypes which are now available. So, but a more limited set of genetic markers have been searched using these databases in the past.
Oh, okay.
But this is probably the most high-profile case. And certainly it has caused concern amongst some sectors of the community. When you look at blogs on news sites devoted to this kind of news story, you will see a very polarised opinion. You will see those who say, fantastic, this is great, you know, we can catch these killers now. And there are people saying, I didn't realise my DNA was being used for this purpose. You know, I don't think it should be. So I guess the concern that people have is that when subscribers provided DNA to these direct-to-consumer genealogy services, they didn't explicitly provide consent for their DNA to be used for this purpose.
They just provided consent for it to be tested but not kept. Is that right?
That's right. Although you have to be careful because when you subscribe to these services, there's a lot of fine print. And most people, including myself, when they download apps, just press I agree to these kinds of conditions. But if you do read the fine print, you'll see that these companies can reserve the right to use your DNA for other purposes. Now, until recently, those other purposes haven't included law enforcement uses. But most of these companies have now changed their terms and conditions and their privacy statements to include use by law enforcement. Now, I guess that means, though, that there are people who provided their DNA to these services before those terms and conditions were changed. And the question might be asked, well, did they explicitly, they didn't explicitly provide their consent for their DNA to be used for law enforcement purposes. But the flip side of that argument is, well, you know, police routinely use social networking for their investigations. So Facebook is probably one of the first ports of call for any police investigation. Anyone using Facebook or Twitter or whatever, Instagram, doesn't explicitly provide consent for police to use their data for that purpose, but it is. And there are people who would say, well, you know, police need to be able to do that in the exercise of their duties.
And so for people who have sort of sent their DNA into these services, do citizens have any rights regarding protecting their DNA from being held in public libraries?
Well, they have full consent, you know, that they have the right to consent or not to have their DNA used for whatever purpose. I mean, but that's the devil is in the detail, you know, so you need to read the conditions when you subscribe to these services. The conditions are outlaid. These companies are not doing anything illegal. They are using the DNA under the conditions for which it was by which it was provided and by which consent was provided. So you need to be careful if you want to provide your DNA to these companies that you understand what those conditions are.
And so in this situation, you know, the I don't know, potentially the consent wasn't necessarily written there in bold, but moving ahead, the police went with it. Do you think that the ethical exemption was potentially made because it is such a high-profile case?
Well, yes, that's right. I mean, you have to remember that there are breaches of privacy that occur all the time in police investigations. So if you, for example, are suspected of being involved in a crime, police can apply for a search warrant for your premises where you live. Now, that's a breach of your privacy, but it's a breach that a court will deem is reasonable because police have reasonable grounds to suspect that you're involved with a crime. And it could be argued that your property is no different to your genetics, that if police believe there are reasonable grounds for you to be involved with a crime, then your DNA is fair game. Now, the other side, the opponents of that view would say, well, look, this is really just a phishing exercise by police. They don't have anyone in mind. They're just submitting DNA to a database in the hope that they'll get something back without having any reasonable grounds to suspect anyone in particular. So, you know, it's a thorny issue. There's arguments on both sides.
And one of the arguments that I think we mentioned and I have seen floating around, governments and police have a responsibility to use pretty much any means at their disposal to solve crimes and potentially, you know, catch people like D'Angelo, who just had a horrific track record. What are your thoughts on that sort of be-all and end-all argument?
Well, you know, this is a debate I think that we need to have as a society. I mean, what do we think is reasonable grounds to use this kind of information? Now, I think most people probably agree that for a serial killer, you know, this was a fair use of DNA. For a traffic infringement or for, you know, a break and enter, maybe not. But there's no right or wrong here. I think this is a debate that we just have to try and come up with policies and regulations that are acceptable to the most number of people, as to when it's appropriate to use this kind of data and for what level of crime it's appropriate.
It's definitely going to be one to keep an eye on. Dennis, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tess.
That was Professor Dennis McNevin from the University of Technology Sydney's Centre for Forensic Science, having a chat with us this morning about the ethics of using your DNA for identification purposes, especially when it comes to solving crimes. This is in the light of the capture of the US Golden State Killer. Happened a couple of months ago, and honestly, if you haven't read the story and you're looking for something to bludge a couple of hours away during work today, it's a great Wikipedia to start with. It is fascinating as much as it is terrifying.